This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. As a longtime fracking activist moves on, his concerns about the industry persist, including vulnerable parts of West Virginia.
And really, no one thinks about these communities unless they're making fun of them or needing something out of them in terms of natural resources. And beyond that, they never think about them and they don't really care about them.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. The State Board of Education has announced it will pursue legal action against the Secretary of State. Chris Schultz has more.
The West Virginia Board of Education announced Monday afternoon that Secretary of State Chris Warner had rejected a policy the board approved during a special meeting earlier in the day. At that meeting, the board voted unanimously to approve a new policy related to minimum requirements for school vehicles. As Kelly Talbot, General Counsel for the West Virginia Department of Education, explained to the board, the normally routine action has been made anything but after House Bill 2755 became effective law July 11th. The law requires board policies to go through the Legislative Oversight Commission on Education Accountability and the full legislature for approval, rejection, or modification before those policies can become effective, something Talbot says the board maintains is unconstitutional.
By voting to file it with the Secretary of State with an effective date, you're challenging the purported requirements of House Bill 2755. In other words, we're proposing that this rule go into effect 30 days upon filing, not after it goes through the full legislature for an effective date.
The State Board of Education voted to pursue litigation against the bill at their May 14th meeting. There have been several attempts by the legislature to gain oversight of the board's rulemaking authority over public education. Most recently, voters in 2022 rejected a constitutional amendment on the ballot that would have required the board to submit its rules and policies to the legislature. This was the third meeting of the board this month. Besides their regular meeting held last Wednesday, July 9th, the board also met July 2nd to discuss a separate lawsuit related to school vaccine requirements. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
A small Huntington bakery with a foreign flair is enjoying some national recognition. Randy Yowie has more.
The Nomada Bakery in Huntington's Heritage Station is USA Today's best cake shop in the U.S., receiving the 10 Best Reader's Choice Award. Owner and head baker Ariel Barcena says Nomada is nomad in Spanish, and his bakery name and culinary creations are rooted in his native Panama and South American upbringing. Barcena says his inspiration comes from his grandmother's Panama kitchen. Nomada's mission is to bake classic items like the Alfajores cookie that she once made.
Good sweets, made with care, with real ingredients, like our grandmas used to bake.
Barcena says the coffee served with his pastries is exclusively imported from Panama. And the USA Today Award has increased patrons from out of town and locals just discovering the Nomada Bakery. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Randy Yowie in Huntington.
An insulation manufacturer in Jefferson County has obtained a new air monitoring permit. Jack Walker reports.
Rockwool operates a steel wool production facility in the city of Ranson. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection granted the site a new operational permit this month. This document is required of all industrial sites deemed a minor source of air emissions. Previously, Rockwool had been listed as a major source of emissions, but the company said its status was reduced after it switched from coal to natural gas. These permits require documentation that minor emission sites are adhering to state laws surrounding air pollution. The Ranson plant has long faced public concern over its potential impacts on the environment, and especially to local air quality. Its new permit takes effect Tuesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
When historic flooding rocked eastern Kentucky in 2022, one of the region's biggest archives of cultural and historic materials was hit hard. Archivists estimate that 85% of the materials held in Apple Shop's vault ended up underwater. Now, Derek O'Pearl with member station WKMS reports a new documentary follows their efforts to preserve those records in the wake of the disaster.
Carefully spooling through a film reel and looking at it through a magnifying glass, Apple Shop archive operations technician Shane Terry is seeing if this or that bit of history survived the flood.
The warping seems to be subsiding, but it's, this thing's just so sticky, it's just crazy. But yeah, you can see like the wrinkles and all that stuff. You can still see that in his face, even though like, this is like magenta.
Nearly 3 years after the historic floods hit Whitesburg, Terry and other Apple Shop employees and volunteers are still digging through the archive, seeing what's lost and what can be restored from Apple Shop's collection of thousands of hours of recordings, as well as photographs and print materials. A new short film from director Nick Lee, titled Magenta, after the reddish discoloration of faded film, documents those efforts.
I just kind of wanted to capture the feeling of what it's like to go into the archive. And to see what they're doing, because it's very important work.
Lee's home was among the hundreds destroyed by the disaster, along with Apple Shop's headquarters.
While I was dealing with, you know, being homeless and trying to salvage things, I was also trying to help Apple Shop salvage some things on the days that I could come by. So it was just kind of like both pieces of my heart were flooded.
The documentary captures the hardships of a rural archive in flux. In a room filled with boxes of documents and other records, Terry opens a freezer unit.
We have like a lot of film in here that needs to be kept frozen.
Generator died.
Another day in archive.
Terry says if old film gets too warm, it gets goopy and loses its detail, the history that they've been tasked with saving. In their work, archivists with Apple Shop aren't just preserving historical records, though. Aaron Asbury, the manager of Apple Shop's film program, says they're also working with community members to save their personal records.
Not only are we trying to preserve history, we're trying to preserve family memories. And memory work and memory keeping is not just this kind of academic thing done behind closed doors.
The archives team also helped Lee, the director of the documentary, recover a home movie from a flood-damaged camcorder.
There's the tape. And that's your mom bringing you home? And your mom really wants that, right?
Terry recovered a tape of them being brought home from the hospital as a baby, something Lee and their mother cherish.
She said, that's the most important tape to me, is the one in the camcorder. And Shane was able to rescue that, and that really meant a lot to me.
Asbury says Magenta captures the state of the organization and Appalachia right now, as well as the difficult emotional and physical labor that goes into preserving a region's culture and history.
It's not exactly the most forgiving work. It's very intense. So we wanted to showcase that, and Nick really took it into their own hands and made it this piece that might make you cry. You know, it went from something that was supposed to just raise awareness to something that is moving.
Magenta is now streaming free on Apple Shop's YouTube channel. It's the first in the nonprofit's Apple Short series that Asbury says will highlight new work from Appalachian filmmakers. I'm Derek Operley in Paducah.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Patchy fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today and humid, with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, high temperatures in the 80s and low 90s. Cloudy tonight with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, lows in the 60s and 70s. Wednesday and Thursday, partly sunny skies with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s and 90s. Support for WVPB is provided by Hope Gas, serving West Virginia's communities with grants and volunteerism through their WV is for Hope program. Online at wvisforhope.com. The The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story with a look back at fracking over the last 12 years.
A longtime fracking activist is moving on, but still has concerns about the industry. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Julie Grant. A dozen years ago, as fracking was getting started in Ohio and was already well underway in Pennsylvania, data researcher Ted Auk started working at the new nonprofit, Frack Tracker. Since then, he's been using photography, maps, and data analysis to document the region's gas industry. Auk has been a source for many Allegheny Front stories, and he's recently announced he's leaving Frack Tracker. I asked him about when he first got involved with the group.
I didn't know much about fracking per se at the time, but everything that I was reading reminded me of my graduate work when I was a master's student at Virginia Tech, where we're looking at what coal mining does to communities and what it does to the landscape and to ecosystems. And it was like all the same stuff was coming back, and it was really striking me as like another one of these examples of like big industry bullying and holding hostage communities that have otherwise been left to rot. You know, I hated it. I hated seeing that. So I applied for the job with Frack Tracker.
You said when you started, you didn't know much about fracking. I think back 12 or 13 years ago, most people didn't know that much about fracking. So I guess the whole region had to get educated in a certain way.
Yeah, and it came on fast and furious. I always use the phrase, you know, fire aim ready. That was the approach by Ohio Department of Natural Resources, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. And really, no one thinks about these communities unless they're making fun of them or needing something out of them in terms of natural resources. And beyond that, they never think about them and they don't really care about them. And those communities are looking for alternatives. And fracking presented itself as like a panacea for all that ailed them, which we know it not to be. But at the time, it was like, there's really nothing else being offered to them. So who are we to kind of, you know, do that? So it was just a tricky situation.
So we were talking in our newsroom a little bit about stories that, you know, I've talked with you about through the years. And there was one, we went up and you were going up in a small plane to look at where there had been a well pad explosion and then an ongoing gas leak in southern Ohio. This was like 2018.
Yeah, that was a really scary event. It was like that and the Eisenbarth pad a couple of years prior to that. There are these like large events that happen every so often and they receive a lot of coverage. But I would contend that like a lot of the stuff, whether it's the gathering pipelines that take the gas down to transmission lines or some of these pads just in like, you know, hard to reach spots. Like we've flown over parts of Pennsylvania, very remote parts of Pennsylvania, and seen well pad explosions, you know, that hadn't even been documented yet. The oil and gas industry has been really good at distributing their impact over larger areas all over the place and linking X to Y quantitatively very difficult and has always been difficult. And that's really what one of the ways that they've gotten away with what they've done is we don't have really background data. Correlation doesn't always mean causation. So
what are your continuing concerns with this industry?
You know, everyone to this point has heard about like the Halliburton loophole.
And that is when like at the federal level, they don't have to disclose the chemicals they're using.
Right. I think what we really need to be doing is changing laws or creating new laws, because that's where the rubber meets the road. I think the number one should be waste, their waste impact and their water impact.
That was Ted Auk, who's leaving Frack Tracker after more than 12 years documenting the gas industry in our region. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Chris Schultz, Curtis Chris Tate, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.
Hi, I'm Matt Jackford. I know you value what you hear on WVPB, but have you thought about sharing it with others? Sure, we send pet photos, life hacks, and recipes to our friends, but what about content with substance? Content that teaches and connects. And because it's here on WVPB, content that is funded by listeners. Today, I'm asking you to make a donation at wvpublic.org and ask your friends to join you in your financial support. Let's get the word out about how valuable this nonprofit service really is. Thanks.
This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting, WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and we're online at wvpublic.org. Fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today, humid, a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, high temperatures in the 80s and low 90s. It's 8 o'clock. Thank you for listening to West Virginia Public Broadcasting, online at wvpublic.org.